Big boy appliances. How many guys would actually help out a little bit more? I don't know. But we're in the middle of our series, Life Hacks, When You Just Need a Better Way. And so far, we've looked at a couple areas. We've looked at God's best and what God's looking for, what God wants to offer us as we've looked through Ephesians chapter 5. And we've seen that. And last time, we started off by looking at the idea of submission. We looked at 5:21, where it talks about submit to one another out of reverence, out of fear for Christ, and we unpacked all of that. And this week, we get into submission as in verses 22 through 24, and some of us are saying, what way? No way. I'm not doing that. I can like the submission to one another, but I don't like this idea about wives submitting to their husbands. So what are we going to do with that? How do we unpack that? In Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, we read, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And we read that and we say, what way? No way. And wives think, wow, yes, what if you knew my husband, you wouldn't be saying that. Paul wouldn't have written that. And we think, wow, this is heavy lifting for wives, but I think it's also as heavy lifting for husbands, because there's a certain way a husband is to lead, so a wife is willing to follow his lead. And, we'll get into that probably more not next week, but the following week. Of course, next week's Mother's Day. Don't forget that. But when it comes to a better way, you know, Scripture gives a lot of better ways for life. They're not shortcuts. Shortcuts usually end up eventually leaving us hanging, but life hacks actually are working smarter, living smarter, and aligning our life with what God would have us to do. And sometimes when it comes to these ideas in Scripture, and someone says, yeah, but I'm doing it this way, I want to ask, how is that working for you? I don't want to ask that in a judgmental way, because that question comes back to me. How is that working for you? You look at your life and you realize, wow, well, I'm in my third or fourth relationship. And in each relationship eventually gets to the point where we sleep together and we're living together and all this stuff. And maybe we get married, maybe we don't get married, and it's very messy. And I go, how is that working for you? Scripture says, you don't do that. Scripture has a better way, a life hack. Find it in your own life. If you're married, if you're faithful to your spouse, you have a better marriage. That isn't limiting your life. You have a better marriage. You get ready to buy expensive things, and you have a history of buying expensive things that you really can't afford, and now you're stuck to these payments, and you're just barely making it. And a life hack from Scripture is to be good stewards. Yes, be generous. Yes, order your finances correctly. And you say, yeah, but just this one more time. And the question is, how is that working for you? You get into a busy, busy season, and all of a sudden that busy season becomes your life. It's been 5 years. You put work, put some activity, put some whatever in the forefront, and you're busy, 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 and you're not at home with your family and your kids, you're not building relationships, and you wonder why things are blowing up in your life. And Scripture gives a life hack about putting family first, putting your spouse even before your kids, but you're not doing that. Yeah, but, how is that working for you? You You realize you're too busy at church and commitments outside of church everywhere, and your attention is going in a billion different directions, and so you just withdraw from everything. And a couple months later, I like to ask you, how is that working for you? Flip side of that, you throw yourself into all this stuff. You throw yourself into your spiritual pursuits. You saturate your life with that. More purposeful time, more Bible reading, more spiritual reading, more services, more church, more. In a couple months, I ask you, how is that working for you? Read a really sad quote. I've read it before, but it was on my plate a little bit more this past week from A.W. Tozer. And A.W. Tozer, a great scholar, wrote lots of things. I love some of the stuff he really wrote, speaks to my heart. But one of the things that he had in the rhythm of his life is the first 4 to 5 hours was his God time. And we go, wow, isn't that great? But when he passed away at 62 and his wife remarried, somebody said, what's it like being married again? What's it like being married to someone else but different than A.W. Tozer? And she said, almost out without thinking, A.W. Tozer loved the Lord. I can't forget what our new husband's name, let's call him Jack. A.W. Tozer loved the Lord, but Jack loves me. Ooh, how's that working for you? So when we get to this subject about submission, and we're not going to have time to unpack it, especially in the role of a wife to her husband, this is in there. You can't get away. You got to do some kind of gymnastics to come up with other ideas of how to interpret these words. Maybe submission means support. Maybe it means encourage. It means, like we said last week, it's a military term. It's a military term, and the word submission here is carried over from verse 21. If you were a Greek scholar, the word actual word submission is not in 22, but it's understood from 21 into 22. That happens occasionally in Scripture. The idea, some of these sentences in Greek are verses after verses after verses. Some are chapters. There's no period. So when you're interpreting this, you got to figure out when something stops, when a new idea starts. And that's why it's great to have great scholars doing these translation work from another language. But again, this idea is, how is it working for you? Today is going to be short, but I have to say this, and it's not any, how do I say this without... It's not any ego-driven, it's not any whatever, but, I've never had to say to Cindy, I'm the husband, submit to me, do what I'm saying, and yet at the same time, she has given me a freedom to lead and direct. I was married when I was 22. She was 25. And she had so much wisdom. I had not lived on my own, really. She had an apartment and all this stuff. I my mother was still helping me with laundry and feeding me and, all that kind of stuff. I just hadn't experienced that. So I was like, wet behind the ears at we were engaged at, 21. And, I met her when I was 19, just a baby. And yet, somehow, it's worked well for us. And we kind of grew into this. And I made some really stupid purchases. I liked getting cars all the time. So about every 6 months, I wanted a different car. It didn't have to be more expensive. I just liked different cars. I don't know. And I'd start by looking at the newspaper on Sunday back in the day where they have the ads. And I'd start looking, and then if I looked at it too long, then I was going to the dealership just to look at it. And then a little while later, I was driving it off the lot. That happened a bunch of times. And she worked with me on that. And I can remember one time writing after my last car purchase how it was stupid. And I would say stuff like, you know, if the Lord lets us get the financing, it must be his will. Well, unless, I mean, it always went through. It was, I mean, we paid our bills, so our financing was okay. That was kind of like a wimpy way to get my own way. And she kind of rolled with it. The last time I wrote out, and I don't think I have it anymore, but I wrote out and stuck it under my little box on my bureau, the reasons why I should not jump into another car soon. And every time I got the temptation, I would grab that piece of paper out. And first thing I did is stop looking at the ads in the paper, right? That you know, all those kinds of things. But why I'm telling you that story is because she grew with me. She allowed me to grow. Same thing, you know, I was a senior pastor at 28, 29. And I remember when I was getting that position, I'd been the youth pastor. The person kind of guiding us through the process said, if you're going to go with Dave, you need to let him grow. He's going to make 29, 30-year-old, 35-year-old mistakes. You know, it's just the way it's going to be. And that's okay. That's okay. And so growing with them. But they followed my leadership. So you know, that dynamic. So this can work. This can work, and it ought to work. So let's just talk a little bit more about the way. And we're just going to get through probably the first page in your outline there, your message guide, and the meaty stuff we'll have to save for next week on Mother's Day. Well, that's great. Bring your mother to that service. And I tell you, I say these with a little fear when I'm talking about this, because some of you are going to say, hey, meet my husband or meet my wife. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, you know, anyway, you know. All right, here we go. If you're a Christ follower, we live according to the way. This is the way it was described in Acts. But before he got away, this is Paul, a huge ruckus occurred over what was now being referred to as the way, the Christian life. There's a ruckus. Living and following Christ does not fit with society. Doing some of the things that we're called to do doesn't fit with society. And this whole submission thing, even 2 weeks ago, the submitting to one another doesn't fit with society. Usually, if you have the power, you're a fool not to use it. That's the philosophy. In Christianity, Jesus had all the power. We sometimes sing a song, he could have called 10,000 angels, and he didn't. He could have. Now, if I was Jesus on the cross, if I would have had it about 10 minutes in, and I would have been like shooting bolts of lightning and watching people blow up. Happy I'm not Jesus. You know, Jesus had the power and he didn't use it. When we're called to submit to one another, we sometimes have the power, the influence, and we choose not to use it for the good of the other person. And some of this submitting thing, and some of you guys have been married, you know, 40, 50, 60 years or whatever, and now you're, how do I even get my head around this? But, you know, how you set it up so you can work together and free your spouse to lead. And sometimes we're going to see that sometimes a spouse just isn't really a good leader. And so you got to work with that. And that can be hard. That's why those of you who are not married, choose wisely. Choose wisely. If the person you're marrying has some kind of issues, you know, no one's perfect, don't expect you to marry them and to fix them. Choose wisely. Better, and I know if you're not married, again, I was married when I was 22, so you could say you don't even know what it's like to be single into your adulthood. Yeah, that's great. Still not really adult, so I still don't know. But anyway, but you know, you say you don't get it. I've talked with enough people that would rather have waited 10 years to be married than be in a situation where the marriage is just unnecessarily hard because the warning signs were everywhere. Now, sometimes they're not there. Sometimes they're not there. So you can't, you know, categorize everything that way. But so choose wisely. So anyway, as a Christ follower, this is this way. Paul created a ruckus by living this way, by speaking this way. When you function in society outside, hopefully the four walls of a local group of Christ followers, you will create a little ruckus because you're going to do things the God way, the Christ way, the Jesus way. You're going to live and love like Jesus, and the world doesn't like that. They don't like accountability. They don't like fairness when it means they have to let their power go. It just doesn't work that way. That's one of the reasons Jesus got killed. He was upsetting the apple cart. The religious leaders, you know, they didn't like losing power, and Jesus was liberating them, and they didn't have it, so they took him out. So the way it is different for a Christ follower. We want to understand that there is a better way. That's okay. I love the sound of kids. There are a lot of churches that would die to have little kid sounds in their services because there are none of them. So never get upset about that, all right? All right, a better way. Just don't be louder than me, please, okay? All right. Deuteronomy, that's why God commands us to follow all these rules, so that we'll live reverently before God, our God. I mean, he's God after all. As he gives us this good life. Again, freedom comes keeping us alive for a longer time to come. I will be a set right and put together life for us if we make sure that we do this entire commandment in the presence of God. We walk with God, God walks with us, and it produces a better life. You've got to come to terms with that, folks. You've got to come to terms with that. What Scripture teaches us, when you understand it, you're not playing games with it, when you mine it for its jewels, you will find that it brings a better life. And the sad part is many of us as Christ followers just want to not even dig into it. We stay right on the surface. We hope that the diamonds are right on the top, that we don't have to dig for them, or however you get diamonds, I don't know. But anyway, so better life. There's a purposeful way to this life. And when we talk about submission and we talk about wives submitting to their husbands, we're going to get there next week. But there's a purpose to this, and there's this idea that Christ died so that he could give the church to himself like a bride in all her beauty. He died so the church could be holy and without fault, with no evil or sin or anything wrong in it. If you're a husband, going to be a husband, you're looking for a husband, you want someone who leads like Christ. They're not going to be perfect, but you also want to help set them up. Husbands, you want to set your spouse up so it's easy to live for Christ. In other words, you don't want to be a jerk. You don't want to make it so your wife's like, oh, I can't believe this. You want to make it easy for them to be a leader. Have you ever had a boss that it's easy to be an employee for them? They're definitely the boss. They tell you what to do in a sense, and this is a little different in marriage, but they're definitely directing you, but they're easy to work with because they're just good people. Husbands, be good people. Oh, I know it's so hard to follow my husband's lead because he's so loving and so kind. I've never heard that, you know? He always is thinking about me, every purchase, you know? No, purposeful way. Christ did that for the church. We do that for each other on some levels, and in marriage, the buck needs to stop with somebody. It's just the way God ordered it. Christ responds to the Father, and the church responds to Christ. We saw this two sermons ago, that we need to, it's a Spirit-filled way. If you and I are trying to navigate through life without the Spirit filling us, directing us, leading us, we are in trouble. It'd be like if someone could mess with your GPS. Let's say I could mess with your GPS. So I know you've got some address in your GPS, and I hack in and mess it all up so you go someplace else. You would be like, I'm not going there. My GPS isn't working or whatever. You would want your GPS calibrated correctly so the right roads and all of this kind of thing. You know, I wouldn't so mess it up that it would be obvious. I'd mess it up just so it was a pain in the neck, you know, like the intersection would be like 2 miles back, you'd already pass it, or, you know, that kind of thing, just off a little bit. Well, that's the way it is when you and I don't live a spirit-filled life. Christ follower, if you're not a Christian and you've got somebody who's not living a spirit-filled life next to you or whatever, yeah, they're going to do some wacky things. But Christ follower, you should not roll out of bed without saying, Lord, I want to follow your lead. I got this knee pad thing because my knees are old now, and I got it by the side of the bed, and sometimes I have it there so I trip over it just to remind me to start my day on my knees, at least in my heart, to follow him, because I can go from the bedroom to the coffee maker to the bathroom and back, and all of a sudden I could be in another place and not be doing what I ought to be. I need a spirit-filled way. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Anything else that fills me, leads me, directs me, not good. Some of the reasons you have trouble stomaching leading your spouse or being led by your spouse is because this isn't happening. That's why it's important when you can, you ought to marry a Christ follower so you're both spirit-filled, because it takes both of you to function and to do things well. So the question I ask myself is, it says, do not get drunk on wine, and all of a sudden we focus on wine. That's why I didn't have that first. But what are you drunk on? You drunk on a hobby? You drunk on your reputation? What are you drunk on? Because that controls you. Don't be drunk on, you fill in the blank, which leads to debauchery, which leads to a broken world, broken life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So it's possible for a Christ follower to be filled with other things. That's the warning here. You've got to ask yourself, are you filled with other things? Obviously, a part of that is a Christ-following way. This is a huge mystery. I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. Christ died for the church. So we give our life away for others. One step, one decision at a time. And we're going to stop with this next thought. When we get into this whole submission, this whole the way and a better way, and you're still skeptical, I challenge you, you can email me nice emails. You can email me with, yeah, what about this? What about this? Because I want to say this. Normally, in every society, and you've heard me say this before, that moved towards a Christ-centered worldview, women and children fare better. Normally. If that's not happening, it's not a Christ-centered worldview. Shame on the church to have created off the rails women's lib because men didn't treat women properly. That's why that happened. Men were jerks. So women said, we've had it, which they should have said they've had it. It should never have gotten that. Churches should have stood up way beyond Christ followers. Men should have said, this isn't the way we treat our wives. In a lot of cases, that isn't the way. But I'm going to say this again, when it's Christ-centered, you look at history and see how Christ changed the world. Slavery, all these kinds of things tied when Christ-centered. You look, sometimes we show a little video, hospitals, more meals are delivered in the world today, more water in the name of Christ than any other organization. The world is better when it's Christ-centered. The question, this is what I'm going to leave you, are we Christ-centered? Or are you me-centered? Dave Spencer said, so my little world really isn't faring better, or at least it's staying neutral. Is it faring better because I am Christ-centered? That includes the way I lead, that includes the way I receive leadership, wrapped all up in there. So we're going to end now, and let's just pray. Heavenly Father, this is just the tip of the iceberg for this subject, which isn't very easy. It seems like it's upside down. It seems like it's not well received, but I'm going to say that your word points to it, teaches it, and when it's done right, it's a beautiful thing. When it's not done right, it's a horrible, oppressive thing. And Lord, a lot of us have lived in friction over this for years. And my question is, how is that working for you? Father, we thank you that there is a better way. We thank you for the life hacks of your word. We thank you that you know how we're wired all the way down into our souls. And your word speaks to that wiring, speaks to that human condition, and wants to free us from it like we just celebrated, just like we sang about it. So, Father, I ask that we would be a freed people living the better way. And would we, because of right way living, create a ruckus, at least a little ruckus, wherever we go, not because we're being difficult, but because we're pointing to the way that is your way. We ask all of this in Jesus' wonderful name.